Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Grid Radio Network. Pro football full circle.
Houston will load up and throw it down the middle of the field. There is heavy contact on Callaway. And the flags come in. That's how Jameis starts. Incredible grab for Callaway. What an opening drive for the Saints.
Second down and 9.
Winston under pressure throwing for Callaway. Spectacular touchdown catch tonight.
We are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, getting you caught up on all the NFL preseason action. Big game last night. New Orleans and Jameis Winston stepped up with a 23-21 victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jameis Winston with a huge day. 9 of 10 completions, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns to Marquez Callaway. He might have solidified himself last night, George, as the starter week number 1 for Sean Payton and the crew.
Now, Payton wouldn't confirm anything. He certainly wouldn't name a starter here before the game. He actually said, oh, before game 1, that's when I'll name a starter. But I think you're right. I think Winston won the job. I think it was his job always to lose anyway. Once again, it makes more sense. Winston is your traditional quarterback. We can go on and on about the 30 interceptions he threw a couple of years back. That won't happen again. I'm not saying he's going to be a world beater. He's not going to be Drew Brees. Not going to be a Hall of Famer. But this also allows, assuming Payton is okay with having his top 2 quarterbacks on the field at the same time, for Hill to be that slash guy, right? That jack of all trades. So I think it makes sense here, and I think Winston did win the job last night.
Now, you and I have been critical about this offense, obviously, with the absence of Michael Thomas. That will be out for the first month, at least for the season. Marquez Callaway has stepped up. I mean, a big night last night, 5 receptions, 104 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. And then my guy, they're finally utilizing Lil Jordan Humphrey. He added 4 receptions, 74 yards, and a score. This offense seems to be finding its rhythm. Them without Michael Thomas, that could be a good sign for Saint backers in terms of getting over this win total of 9 on FanDuel this year.
I mean, listen, watching the game last night, those receivers definitely seem to be trying to stick it up my behind here about making all those great catches. There were several. I've been bashing them all season long. They might have the worst receiving core in the NFL since Michael Thomas is down. Listen, God bless if they're going to come through, if they're going to play well like that. I don't know if it's going to continue. It was a good game here. I still have severe doubts about this. I'm not bullish on the Saints, so I'm not taking the over. I certainly
I'm not bullish either.
Towards the under.
Yeah, I do feel that Callaway is a nice receiver. I don't think he's a pure number one. He's a big wide receiver from Knoxville out of Tennessee. Struggled in terms of numbers-wise. Let's remember the quarterback situation in Tennessee with Jared Garantano, an inconsistent quarterback throughout his tenure in Knoxville. That's why the numbers don't really wow you in terms of his college stats. But then making the progression in year number 2, so we'll see how this offense does play out. Lil Jordan Humphrey, another big-bodied receiver goes around 6'4". He's about 220 pounds, can catch the football at its highest point. So we'll see how he's utilized by Jameis Winston and the offensive staff heading into week number one in the month of September. But in that game last night, now Jacksonville struggled. We saw C.J. Beathard come in terms of mop-up duty, hit former Texas wide receiver Colin Johnson for a big play touchdown. That got the Jacksonville Jaguars the cover in terms of the closing spread of 4.5 points. But Travis Etienne, the starting first-round draft pick from Clemson, went down with a foot injury. This is a significant blow because Etienne was supposed to be utilized as a big play threat coming out of the backfield, much like Alvin Kamara. We have to see how this affects Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville offense throughout the season in 2021.
I think the biggest thing from last night for watching Jacksonville was they better figure out a way to protect Lawrence. So he's not playing 17 games. All right, he's running for his life a lot. He's getting hit too many times there. You have to design your offense around him. If you don't have the protection right now, if our offensive line's not good enough right now, you better figure out a way. If it's max protect a lot, because it didn't look good last night. In my mind at all last night. So it's certainly an issue. I know the injury to Travis at the end is also a big thing here, and now it seems to be getting worse and worse from what we're hearing today. It's a Liz Frank injury, and it depends on if he needs surgery or not. It depends on how long he might be out for. So really nothing good came out of that game for Jacksonville last night.
No, it didn't. And when you just look at the rushing attack as a whole, I know you've been hot. James Robinson, that was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. But you saw the offensive line. They were put into predictable third-down situations last night. That put a lot of stress on Lawrence, put a lot of stress in terms of the tackles, in terms of the edge rush that New Orleans was able to put on that offensive line in third down. But can James Robinson take over the duties? I know you like his physical attributes, but can he be a 1,000-yard rusher from what you saw last night in terms of that offensive line?
I mean, you don't want to judge him off one game. Can he be a 1,000-yard rusher? My guess would be yes. You're not asking for much, right? We're just not in 17-game season, assuming he can play 17, which is another big assumption with anybody nowadays, right? It's going to be tougher to play 17 games because you're playing more games, right? More games, more hits, more chance to get hurt here. But 17, all you're asking for is 59 yards a game. So do I think he can? Yes, I think he can. Now, I like James Robinson. I don't love him. And my problem with Etienne was this, and you sort of see, excuse me, you already had Robinson, so you didn't need a running back, yet you drafted one. Maybe an offensive lineman would have been nice at that spot.
We'll come back, we'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz breaking down the game last night between Jacksonville and New Orleans. We talked about Travis Etienne. Could be a Liz Frank injury in terms of that foot, monitoring him. Going to get some more tests. We'll see how that plays out. Talked about James Robinson. Before we transition to Dallas, George, I mean, he had a nice season last year. But again, is he an elite running back entering the 2021 campaign? I mean, he was an under-the-radar type of guy. But expecting him to duplicate 1,100 yards in this offense with that offensive line could be pretty difficult. Even though it's 59 rushing yards per game, he really is the only back that they have right now. Travis Etienne was supposed to be the transition back. He was supposed to be the back maybe on third down to take some catches away from Robinson, at least spell him early on in terms of the upcoming season. Now with his departure, that puts all the pressure on Robinson. He's only about 5'9", 212.
Oh, you're right. And in today's NFL, every team has two running backs, at least two. Some teams have three. Right, you need it nowadays. And he's not elite, and Robinson will never be elite. He was just good enough. Like I said, I think when you're drafting someone like Etienne, when you have Robinson, that's a luxury. If you have no other holes to fill, But you have other holes to fill. I think that pick should have been using somebody else. I think Etienne's a better back when healthy than Robinson. I do. Do I think he upgraded the position? Yes, I do. But they had so many other problems. They could have lived with Robinson this year. It would have been an issue, right? That's my issue.
Right.
It would have been a problem. They could have lived with Robinson, draft somebody else, whether it had been an offensive lineman, a defensive, whatever it would have been. I think they'd have been a better team for it.
Well, a player that did step up that I was high on a couple of years ago, scored the last touchdown from C.J. Beathard, was Colin Johnson. And if you watch his career at Texas with Sam Ellinger back a couple of years ago, one of the best wide receivers in the Big 12. Keep an eye out for him. He's a big body, 6'6". He's a very smooth route runner. I think he could be implemented into this veteran wide receiver core with Marvin Jones. And if he can get involved, that could be a situation where they might pass first, and then that goes back to the for Trevor Lawrence in terms of 4,250 passing yards to make that total in 2021, but he needs time. I'm still bullish on their total, George, 6.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's only plus 105 to the over. At least they're not juicing it in terms of that capacity. So I'm buying into Urban. We'll see how it plays out over the next couple of weeks. I did want to bring up the Dallas Cowboys. PFF College Football came out and they ranked Micah Parsons, the number one draft pick, taken 12th overall by the Cowboys, runs a 4.39 out of Penn State. He slipped in this draft. Well, he's the highest ranking rookie linebacker since 2015. So if he could play like that, especially in the month of September, you got to love the Dallas defense to rebound in a big way this year.
Well, everything we're hearing out of camp is one, yeah. Parsons is lightning, right? Extremely fast. That's all you keep hearing over and over again. He's playing great. Now, part of the reason why he slipped is that, you know, when you're thinking defense in a draft, what are you looking for? In today's NFL, what are you looking for? Pass rusher. That's the number one thing. Wasn't really there this year. Number two, okay, if we can't get to the quarterback, then we got to cover the wide receivers. Give those guys extra time to get there, so you're looking for cornerbacks. And those guys flew off the board. Right, so linebacker is sort of an afterthought nowadays because the game has changed. It's not like it was when you and I grew up, where it was a run game. Stop the run, force the team to pass. You still want to do that to a degree, but teams will say, hey, no problem, we'll throw the ball 40, 50 times. We don't mind doing that anymore. Everything's geared towards the pass game. This is why Parsons fell a little bit. That being said, the Dallas defense will be better. It can't be worse. It can't be.
Well, I'll say this.
It's literally horrific.
I'll say this about the game, how it's changed. You're right. In terms of linebackers don't have as much of a weight in terms of a defense. You want defensive backs that could tackle in space, play bump and run coverage. But that being said, you look at one dominant inside linebacker in the NFL, DeMario Davis, the former New York Jet. He gets it done for New Orleans. That guy is always around the football, and he brings a lot of pressure in terms of offensive lines and, more importantly, getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks right up the gut. And you have a player in Micah Parsons that runs a 4.39. If you had to, you could put him on the edge in certain packages. He's quick enough to get a rush if you want to do it that way. But you can actually blitz him right up the middle and get his body. He's about 235 pounds, mismatch on an undersized running back. And that could be a potential for this Dallas Cowboy defense to get pressure because, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is good. I don't know if he's elite. I'm not buying into Randy Gregory. I know he's basically very inconsistent. You don't know what you're getting from Gregory week to week, game to game. But Micah Parsons can be the spark plug that really maybe forces turnovers this year and maybe brings a different type of intensity and physicality to this defense that clearly last year was lacking, George.
Agreed. Agreed. Now, I agree with you about Lawrence. He's not elite. He's a good pass rusher, but he's not elite. I have more faith in Gregory than you do to stay on the field already. Stop with the off the field garbage, and you'll be a good player. Not great, not elite once again, but a good player there. I think Parsons does give you that because he's so fast. You see the plays he's making. He does give the defense some jazz there. But remember, Dallas did not plan on taking him. If they would have thought they were taking him, if he was their number one pick, which Jerry Jones tried to sell to you, they would not have re-signed Jalen Smith to the contract because that's a waste now. Now you got big money to a backup guy who can't really play. You know, so Dallas probably got lucky here with the way things worked out, that they ended up maybe with the best defensive player in the draft, and now they need to hope that those 18 cornerbacks that ran through, you know, throw enough mud against the wall, a couple guys stick, Diggs plays better from last year, And all of a sudden, you may have something here. Once again, Dallas, to be a dangerous team, does not need to have an elite defense. They just need to get to average.
Almost a bend, but don't break, right? Almost, you know, yes. Don't give up the big play. Force teams to methodically work down the field. Keep everything
get
in front
turnovers.
Of you.
If
you can, right. Turnovers and limit touchdowns to field goals, right? That's the biggest thing. If your defense could give up field goals as opposed to touchdowns, now you feel pretty good with Dak. As long as Dak is healthy and those offensive playmakers like C.D. Lamb, you would take that any day of the week if you're the Dallas Cowboys. It's just when you fall behind in games the way they did against Cleveland and the way they did against Atlanta, you can potentially maybe pull one or two of those games out a year, but consistently falling behind and having to play one style of offense is not the way you want to win a division for the Dallas Cowboys. Total is set at 9.5 on FanDuel. Right now it's actually juiced to the under at -135. You want to take a shot that the Cowboys can get to 10-7 overall, +115, so not bad odds there. I believe that they can get there as long as Dak is healthy. I'm a believer in Parsons, a believer in that defense to at least make some headway in 2021. Want to jump around a little bit. I want to go back to the New England Patriots, and we talked about them in depth a little bit during the last week. Cam Newton now out due to COVID protocols in terms of the testing. Are we locked and loaded as Cam being the starter week number one? Do we have any concerns, you know, that Cam can lead this offense? And if he does struggle early on, I mean, when you look at the schedule, it's not easy. They open up with Miami week one as a 2.5-point favorite on FanDuel. But if they do struggle, do you think Bill has a short leash and automatically goes to Mac Jones? Or do you feel like they'll give him at least maybe 8 games this season?
No way they give him 8 games if he's struggling. No way. He was terrible last year. Now, you're sort of giving him a somewhat pass. He hadn't played in a couple of years. It was COVID. We didn't have a lot of weapons, blah, 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 blah. But there's no way they give him 8 games. I don't know if they get more than a couple of games if he's not playing well and they're not winning. Mac Jones is going to play at some point this season. It's just a matter of when. I think it would be a shock if he's not playing by Halloween. All right, I have him playing in really early October, at the very latest here. And there's a chance he starts week one now, because Cam can't come back until Thursday, which means the next couple of days of practice, which they're having a joint practice with the Giants, it's all Mac Jones. Yeah, if he's really going to turn the corner and playing well, I could see them going with him game one. I don't think it's going to happen, mind you. I think it will be Cam to start the season. We'll take it from there. But Mac Jones is going to play. I can't say this enough with all of these rookie quarterbacks, these first-round guys. They're all going to play, and they're all going to play sooner rather than later. I doubt any of them doesn't get their first start before Halloween.
We'll see what happens. When we come back, we'll talk about the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield, Joe Lisi and George Kurt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL preseason action, we just left off with the New England Patriots. Will Cam lead this team to a playoff appearance in 2021? What will this offense look like, George, right? N'Keal Harry's down. Hunter Henry's been banged up. Janu Smith has been banged up. And all I do is I see short to intermediate passes, whether it be Cam Newton, whether it be Mac Jones, and I still see those running backs, right? Damondre Stevenson stepped up. We have Sony Michel there, Damian Harris. Is this the same type of offense that we've seen over the last couple of years in terms of Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick? They don't want to take chances. They want to rely on the offensive line to win ball games this season.
I know this is a fair, Joe, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Name me a team with the worst set of skill position players than the Patriots.
I even think Jacksonville has a major leg up on them. I like DJ Chark. I like Marvin Jones.
Right.
I mean, they have some playmakers.
I would think Robinson over any of their running backs.
Yeah, that, well, you see, Damian Harris was a big play running back for a national championship
at
Alabama. Sony Michel can catch that. I still don't
Michel
think they
sucks.
Have used. I know he hasn't shown a lot in the NFL, but if they would have utilized him the way they did at Georgia, I think they would have a home run there.
We could play that game all day long.
I know. You're right.
The bottom line is, Jacksonville has better weapons, right?
Right. And they have more speed on the outside. That's a given. I mean, the
Maybe
speed
Houston?
In terms of the one and twos are it's not even close. I mean, you can't rely on Jacoby Myers to make a big play. Maybe on a 12-yard hitch or a 12-yard dig pattern, but if you need a big play where New England has to score within a minute and a half, this offense is definitely not built to score quickly and come from behind in ball games. They're just not.
No, you already said it. They want to play by ball control, hopefully eating some clock. I don't think they have the running game to do that, and defense. That's what they want here, but they don't have it. They just don't have it. This is not a playoff team. I'm on their under as well here. Been on their under for months, actually. It's one of my favorite unders. I seem to love the unders in this division. The Jets are an under as well here. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. They don't have the weapons, and it may not be fair for Mac Jones either, because we're not going to get a true reading on him because he doesn't have the weapons to throw to here. Right, Nelson Aguilar, your big free agent signing? Yeah, good luck with that. Your two tight end offense? I like that, but there's no one even close to Hernandez and Gronk here, and I like Henry, but they're not these kind of players.
Yeah, we'll see. 9 is the total on FanDuel. FanDuel disagrees with us for the most part. -140 to the over if you want to take a shot on Bill Belichick and the crew. +120 to the under before September 12th. They are a 3-point favorite right now on FanDuel over the Miami Dolphins. I brought up Baker Mayfield. I brought up the Cleveland Browns. I mean, listen, this team stepped up. They got a playoff win over the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. Went toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes in that offense for a half. Lost that ball game to Chad Henne. Pulled that out in the fourth quarter. But their win total this year, 10.5, -105 to the over. I have to be honest with you. We watched that whole game for the New York Giants on Sunday when we covered it for in-game. The biggest thing for me is that it's not just the starters now. Stefanski has instilled a work ethic, blue-collar mentality in terms of the backups, the third stringers. They believe they can go toe-to-toe with everybody. They're bought into the program. They believe that they're an elite organization. That's a huge sign in terms of taking the next step this coming season.
Yeah, I agree. They're an interesting, dangerous team, right? Because if they put everything together here, boy, there's no weaknesses here. There's no weaknesses here. So I'm interested in the Browns a lot. Listen, we saw him sort of take that step last year. I think it was a lot with Baker Mayfield. I don't think he took quite the big step that Josh Allen took in Buffalo. Yeah, Allen took a major step. Mayfield took a big step. He takes that next step here. If he doesn't get too Odell Beckham crazy, where now I got to throw the ball to Beckham all the time. This is a dangerous offense. We know they're pretty much a run-first offense, but they have the receivers. They have good tight ends, have a very good offensive line, and their defense is good too. Right, there's no obvious holes here, so I like this team a bunch here. I think they have, I think they have a third best team. They're in that next tier. I still got Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2, next tier Cleveland. But like I said, if they take that next step, I think they're right there with them.
I want to ask you this in terms of weapons, right? Because we saw them take Anthony Schwartz, and if you're not familiar with Anthony Schwartz from Auburn, the kid's a sprinter. He was taken in the third round. Numbers-wise, he's not going to wow you because of the inconsistency of the Auburn offense last year with Gus Malzahn and quarterback Bo Nix. But this kid can flat-out fly. You implement him in that offense throughout the season with Odell Beckham if he's healthy, Jarvis Landry. You saw Donovan Peoples-Jones step up at the end of last year. You saw him make some plays in the game against the New York Giants with Kyle LaLetta. I mean, from a weapon standpoint, outside the running backs, I'm just talking wide receivers and tight ends right now. We're buying in, right? I mean, there are a number of skill weapons for Baker Mayfield to lead this offense where if teams shut down Chubb and Kareem Hunt, he can definitely take flight through the air and challenge defenses each and every game this year.
Agreed. Agreed. I think they're a team that can challenge him any way you want. Any way you want. You want to take away the pass game? Fine, we'll throw it. We'll run the ball. You want to take away the intermediate pass game? We'll throw it over the top. And all teams are going to look for players like Gus Schwartz, by the way, because they don't need to be catching 8 balls a game. They just need to take that safety out. If that safety now has to play, you know, 5 yards deeper or on his side of the field, it opens up the other side, right? That's what they want this to do. This is what DeSean Jackson has done all his career. Brandon Cooks, the same sort of thing there. Yes, those guys are good wide receivers in their own right for other reasons, but they're there because they zoom, right? Boom! They're got, and I think it's almost automatic double coverage when you're playing a certain cover two. So the offense knows what's coming, what they're going to play here. Maybe they're playing cover three. It just makes things easier for the offense. So I think it's a smart move. I know he's not going to have good numbers here or be a great wide receiver, but he serves a purpose.
Now, we've talked about the quarterbacks at length. We've talked about Russell Wilson. We've talked about Tua. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers in terms of their passing props all year. We really haven't jumped into Baker Mayfield's numbers and what he can do with this offense, right? 4,500 yards on FanDuel, minus 112 either way. I'm a little conflicted because you have the extra game. We know about the potential for this offense. We saw it against the late season victory over Tennessee in Nashville, right? He chucks 5 touchdown passes. Passes, and you're like, okay, this is why we took this guy, right? But we know about the offense being predicated on the rushing attack with Nick Chubb, with Kareem Hunt, that heavy offensive line. Basically, if Cleveland's going to make a Super Bowl run, it will be due to the physicality of the rushing attack and that offensive line, right? As they go, basically, so does Baker Mayfield. I don't know where, if teams shut down the rushing attack, I feel confident where they're a one-trick pony where he's going to have to throw it 50 times a game. That could be a recipe for disaster. So that being said, with the extra game, is 4,000 yards attainable for him? I mean, it seems so, but we know about the running game, George. So I'm a little bit conflicted when I break down Mayfield this year.
Well, I think you bring up a great point. And that's sort of what I mean by can Baker make that next step? You know, because we know they can win with the running game, but what happens when teams take that away? You know, what happens then? You know, can he win games by himself? I think that's a very fair question. Very fair, because we don't know yet. My guess is yes, they can, but we need to see it. We need to see it first. I think when it comes to Cleveland, I think they're the third best team. I think they're sort of in a tier. I think for them to that team, playoffs come. Division, they'll be in the playoffs. You don't want that team has to go play Buffalo and Kansas City. You want to avoid that. You're going to have to play one of them, but you have to hope you're not playing both of them in one of the division round, one of the championship round. That might be too much to overcome.
Now, when I just look at his numbers early on in terms of can he get there, right? You look at bad pass defenses for the most part. They open up with a rematch of that playoff game against Kansas City. Not going to be easy. Then they play Houston and Tyrod Taylor, and maybe it's Davis Mills in that ball game. Texans don't have a solid front seven. J.J. Watt has moved on. The Bears, I'm not sold on the Bears. We talked about the Bears yesterday. We talked about Khalil Mack potentially taking a step back in terms of his play. People love him. I think this is an aging defense. Maybe they can move the football consistently on them. Vikings, I think their defense will be much improved. Chargers have a solid defense with Bosa back there in terms of the running game. They then get a break. They face the Cardinals and Kyler Murray at home. That's October 17th. They follow that up with the Broncos, Steelers, Bengals, and Pats. So if we're looking at Baker Mayfield just from that 4,000-yard total, not going to be easy in terms of the early part of the season for those defenses, right?
No, but defenses are usually a little bit more ahead, a little further ahead of offenses. Well, maybe that's why we're seeing so many unders in the preseason, right? Because defense is usually a little further ahead come, you know, the first month of the season, maybe the first 6 weeks, for whatever reason here. So they'll be tested, right? No doubt. I am looking forward to week one for this. This is maybe my most favorite game for week one, right? Sunday, 4:25 playing Kansas City. Going to find out right away about them. I don't expect them to win the game. Just don't get blown out. You know, now, don't lose 34-10. Yeah, but keep it close, and I'll be impressed here. But after that, schedule is okay, right? You play Houston, Chicago. All right, you got Minnesota. You play out the Chargers. Once again, you'll be tested here. But I think the Browns are going to turn out just fine here. But I want to see the late game on Sunday afternoon, week one.
Well, let me ask you this in terms of Odell Beckham, right? He goes out of that offense. I felt like they were more consistent. It's almost like Baker Mayfield took a side. I don't have to look for Odell on each and every play. He went through the passing tree. He found Jarvis Landry as his number one guy. He went to his tight end, Hooper Moore. So, I feel like he developed once Odell was out of that offense. Now he's back in. You got to figure that Odell is playing with a chip on his shoulder. How could this team make it to the playoffs without me? right? So he's going to want to prove that he's still the same player he was 3 or 4 years ago. Is that a hindrance to this team, in your opinion?
Joe, that's a fair question, Joe. It's a fair question. I hope not. I hope Mayfield and Odell learns that they're better by passing the ball around. And you don't always focus, laser focus on one guy. So I hope not.
We'll come back. We'll talk about the NFC. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the conversation, we left off with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. I brought up Odell Beckham in terms of now being implemented into that offense from the start of the 2021 season. Would that affect Baker Mayfield's performance? George, I pulled these up on DraftKings right now. They have Jarvis Landry, total touchdowns, 4.5. It's juiced to the over at minus 130. If you want to go under for Landry, it's plus 100. But they have Odell at 6, and it's juiced to the over at minus 130. So that brings up my point. If you're just looking at how the books are valuing Odell's, you know, offensive production in that scheme, they feel he's going to potentially have a bigger season than Jarvis Landry in terms of touchdown catches, which, if you look at the macro picture of it, that's not really the recipe that Cleveland had at the end of the year.
No, it's not. Listen, touchdown catches, I think that's more game flow than anything else. There's no way really. There are certain guys who are touchdown guys because you're going to have those certain plays like, you know, Dez to flip up in the back of the end zone, have him go jump up and get it. Yeah, he's going to get his share. Beckham's not really that. Landry's not really that kind of guy. It's more, to me, it's more luck than anything else. Who will have more? I would probably go Beckham myself because I think he'll have longer plays, right? Bigger, big plays that could lead to touchdowns there. So I might go with Beckham there, but I don't think there's any really rhyme or reason to vote for one or the other here. Beckham is the better wide receiver, assuming he's healthy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Minnesota, but just FanDuel did something pretty interesting in terms of they have every team listed, right, where you think they can finish in terms of the position within the division, right? So if you think that the Cleveland Browns can win the division and you pick first, they're going to give you a plus 155. Second gives you a plus 145. Third is plus 340, and dead last is plus 950. I think we're in agreement. We don't think they're going to finish dead last, but potentially maybe first or second in terms of the division. Any value to any of those wagers?
Yeah. I can't see Cleveland falling any further than second, right? Maybe Baltimore has a great season, you know, so I could certainly see that. I don't think Pittsburgh is a very good team. You know, I think they're closer to an 8-8 team. I don't even know if they make the playoffs this year. 8-9, 9-8 team with the 17-game schedule. I think Cincinnati's last. So I think Cleveland's either 1 or 2. All right, that's really all I feel about them, and I have them 1. I have Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, I think I agree with you about Baltimore. I'm not sold on a one-trick pony. I've been a Lamar Jackson backer. I think he's one of the most athletic, most explosive playmakers in the NFL. But at the quarterback position, if you're trailing, you can't rely on a 50-yard run for Lamar Jackson on each and every drive to pull your team out from a victory. You could do it maybe in the regular season. And you're not going to do it consistently throughout the playoffs. That's a concern with those wide receivers, including Rashad Bateman, hurt. How does this offense look? They were number one in the NFL last year, 191 rushing yards per game. I think it's the same MO early on. I picked them at 10-7 under their 11-game win total in 2021. A team that I'm high on, looking at their odds in terms of the division for FanDuel, is the Minnesota Vikings. I think I'm buying all into Kirk Cousins. I'm buying into Dalvin Cook. I'm buying into those playmakers like Thielen and Justin Jefferson. You add Smith Marsette into that offense. I haven't liked the way they looked early on in the preseason, George. They got blown out by Denver, did not look good. But I think once the season starts, this is the team to beat. And if you're going to give me plus 250 on FanDuel to win the division, I'll take those any day of the week.
Now, you mentioned Lamar Jackson and Kirk Cousins. So does it bother you at all, not so much that they're not vaccinated against COVID, but that, hey, Jackson's already had it twice. Could certainly get it again. So could Cousins. Does it bother you at all for, as far as gambling? Does it make you want to go the under now? I know you're big on Minnesota.
I am big on Minnesota. You know,
doesn't that bother you a little bit?
You know, I don't really look at that. I think it's all equal, George, in the sense of if you're asking me, I would want every player to be vaccinated, right? But we've also seen vaccinated players come down with COVID and test positive. Is there going to be a bigger drop-off? Potentially, right? You have less odds of maybe testing positive. But I'm going in with the mindset of this. Kirk Cousins knows what he needs to do, right? And I'm not saying I love him. But at the end of the day, he needs to lead this team to a playoff appearance. If not, he's gone. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you cannot just go through the motions, be a compiler, and collect $84 million. You could do it to a certain point. But at the end of the day now, you need to take the next step. The reason why Minnesota got you is to not just win a playoff game against New Orleans. It's to make a playoff run to a Super Bowl crown. They have the playmakers there. The defense, they've added a number of different draft picks. So at the end of the day, I'm buying in saying this guy needs to step up. If he doesn't, we know what we have, and then just throw the whole season away. But I'm going to roll the dice in the sense of it's not just Kirk Cousins. It is Dalvin Cook. I have potentially the best running back in the NFL. You can make the argument it's Henry, it's Cook. I think Cook shows a little more multi-dimensional facet in his game. He can catch the football out of the backfield. He's a five-tool type of running back. I know about the injury issues, but again, when he carries the rock, George, he can go to the house each and every play. So for me, I'm banking into that Dalvin Cook could carry this offense. If Kirk Cousins goes down, I'd rather Cousins go down than Dalvin Cook, for that matter.
Oh, I'd rather Cook go down if I'm Minnesota. You have a decent backup there. You can't survive without the quarterback. You'll be done. So I'd much rather have the running back. And I love Dalvin Cook, by the way. And I think Cook is also better than Henry. That being said, Christian McCaffrey is the best running back in the NFL.
But isn't it the same thing? I mean, we can make the argument. I mean, if you're putting Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook side, but why is he better? Is he the same type of player? I mean, you know, Dalvin Cook.
He's more dynamic. He's just more dynamic.
Nah, I don't know
about
that.
He can make bigger plays there. Yeah, I'll take McCaffrey. Listen, I love Dalvin Cook, and I have no problem with your MVP on Cook, because I think it's
75-1 right now. 75-1. I'm on it. So, you know, I'm rolling with Dalvin Cook, 1,557 yards last year. Hey, I think he could be a 2,000 yard rusher. I think he could catch 80 to 100 passes this year.
I think they may be a little high on the pass totals, but he's a great player. Absolutely great player. Stay healthy. Just stay healthy. That's my only thing with Dalvin Cook. Just stay healthy. I wonder that, I worry that he might only play 12 games. That's my biggest worry about him. Other than that, he's fantastic in that offense and how they use him. And it is a running offense, sort of like Cleveland. They run the ball first. They can throw, but they run the ball first here. So I don't think, and I certainly don't think that's going to change under Zimmer. It's what he wants. So Cook will be great. Just stay healthy. So, like I said, when I say I disagree with you, these are small disagreements, by the way. I certainly would not get on any soapbox and argue about you about McCaffrey over Cook. I may believe McCaffrey, but, you know, it's a small belief. I think Green Bay wins the division, but it's a small, you know, once again, you want to go Minnesota? I'm not arguing with you. It's close enough where I could easily see Minnesota winning it. I don't think Minnesota's going to the Super Bowl, mind you. I don't think they're that kind of team. But, you know, Minnesota's a good team, good run team. The only thing I would really push back on is the injury. If I was a Minnesota fan, I had to lose one, I want to see Cook go down, not the quarterback.
Right. Now, if you want a different type of bet and check around in terms of the books, right, I'm very high on them in terms of over the 8.5, but obviously FanDuel agrees they haven't juiced heavily to the over at minus 160. I think this could be a 10-win football team easy. 10-7, I think, is a gimme if you're asking me right now. I have them to win the division as well. But, you know, over 9.5 on an alternate spread on FanDuel, they're going to give you plus 120. So, I mean, we go from minus 160 at 8.5 to two more wins. They're going to give you now positive value of plus 120. I mean, it to me, it's not that big of a jump. I know in order to get basically the 8.5, I need 9 wins. Well, to get the 9.5, I need one more win of 10, and you're going to give me plus money. It's basically a 280-degree turn, right? So I like that bet right now on FanDuel.
Yeah, they go. Listen, I don't dislike it. I mean, I think they could go 4-2 in the division. So for always the first thing I look at, how many division games can you win here? And we know, listen, Detroit's a joke. Chicago, they have one. I don't even want to talk about Fields and Dalton there. And now it's coming out today that it looks like Dalton might start because he was promised. Really? This is what we're going with now? You were promised? Forget it. Do I think they can get the double? I do think they can get the double digits. Maybe the 11 could screw, the hook could screw you there. I could certainly see that. But games outside the division, they're going to beat Cincinnati, so there's 5. I think they'll lose to Arizona. Seattle could be an issue. They won't lose 3 in a row. So there's 6 there. Carolina's 7. They always seem to beat Dallas. It's at Minnesota, too. So I'll give you 8 there. Maybe you lost there. I'll give you beating Minnesota. I'm
lost
up at
9. Lost there. Who are they losing to? Come on.
Green Bay, San Fran.
So what? They beat Green Bay in Lambeau Field last year.
I'm giving you one win already. You're not winning both.
You never know.
You're not sweeping. Come on. You're not sweeping Green Bay. Give me a break.
All right. We'll see. Anything. Stranger things have happened.
I think that's my problem. Right now, I would have it right at 10. So you're going to have to beat that hook somewhere.
All right. So I did want to talk about one more NFC team, and that's Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. We watched them play last week. Jalen Hurts with the stomach issue. He hasn't played basically but 7 passes in terms of preseason. Have we seen enough of Jalen Hurts? I've heard people come out and say, oh, this is the team to keep an eye out on. Jalen Hurts is the real deal. I don't know about that. And I'm not even sure that this team could get to 5 wins this year. I know they have some great pieces to that foundation, but you have a first-year head coach. You have a defense in flux. You have a quarterback that people are saying is the future. The players are saying it, but realistically, from what we've seen in terms of his body of work, still inconsistent. Could we buy into Philadelphia as being this dark horse in the NFC East?
Sure, because it's the NFC East. That being said, people are pretty high on the Washington offense. That's going to be better than we think. I don't understand that. People are really going bananas about Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he's done nothing. He's never led a team to the playoffs. It's weird how he's just always going to be great with Washington. I don't see it. And we already talked about Dallas, and the defense might be better. If those two things happen, the Washington offense is legit, the Cowboy defense is legit, then Philadelphia has no shot. What we're sort of backing out here is what happened last year, that nobody get double-digit wins here. And, they're all going to knock each other off. That's what we're thinking on. And Hurts is the franchise quarterback. It's one of the big questions this year. I have a list of what I think the top 10 people under the most pressure in the NFL are this season, and Hurts is on it. Because Philadelphia needs to know. Once again, 2 number one picks next year. Maybe a 3rd, depending on how many plays Carson Wentz makes. So, if he's the man, well, then they can use those picks for other raw areas. If he's not, quarterback, then you're done. They're going to have to make up their mind this year. So a lot of pressure on Hurts. If he is the guy, then yes, they're a dark horse. If he's not, then you're right. They're an under.
I think the offensive line is a huge concern. I'm not sold that they can run the football consistently. And I think that's the biggest question mark for this offense on top of Hurts, is that if he's put into predictable third downs, he's going to look to tuck it and run. Is he going to survey in terms of his reads, his progressions, go through the passing tree? How well will he utilize the tight end? He has Zach Ertz there now. Dallas Goedert, people have said, is due for a breakout season. But let's keep in mind, he played with a tight end in Alabama with O.J. Howard. When he moved on to Lincoln Riley in the Big 12, really didn't have the go-to type of tight end, if for that matter. And that's going to be the biggest concern in terms of his game. How does he check down to the running back, Miles Sanders? How does he check down to those tight ends to not force balls into coverage, to limit turnovers? And that's going to be the biggest thing about whether or not Philadelphia is a contender, George. For me right now, I'll tell you this. I'm under their win total of 6.5, and I might take it a step further. I might go under their win total of 5.5 at +200 on FanDuel. How about that? So when we come back, we'll wrap up the show with a week 1 line, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we were talking about the AFC, NFC. Interesting week one battle, George. We really haven't gotten into it. The Chargers are on the road to face Ryan Fitzpatrick in Washington. It's an early kick, a 1 o'clock kick. Chargers right now on FanDuel, minus one at minus 110 either way. Total set, 44.5. We talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick not looking consistent or that great in the preseason. Heinicke's looked pretty good. I mean, he hit up with Cam Sims on a number of different plays in terms of when he played last week against Cincinnati. But early on, you would have to give the inside edge to Justin Herbert, right? You have a better offense going up against a more consistent defense right now. So who could dictate tempo? I would lean Chargers, but I'm not sold on this because I can go either way because I like defense. How do you see this game playing out?
I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I'm not going to, as of right now, I'm not touching the game. It is the better offense against the better defense. But the thing is, if you want to look at it this way, I don't doubt the Chargers have a better offense than the Washington team. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. And the Washington defense is better than the Chargers defense, but they're not better by leaps and bounds. I'm curious about this Chargers team, right? They always find ways to lose, right? They always do. If they can ever get out of that, this would be a playoff team. They're not going to compete with the Chiefs in the West, but I think they could be a wild card team here. So I want to see what the Chargers can do. I think they are the better team of the two here because I like what they can do as far as they're more well-rounded. But I'm going to have a hard time putting money on them until I see them win games they should win.
See, here's the way I break this game down. I don't know if Austin Ekeler and that rushing attack could get going against that front seven. So I think they're going to make Justin Herbert and that offense one-dimensional, right? So that leads me to believe that L.A. is going to try to attack them over the top. So I might look at the total here. It sounds crazy. I know Washington traditionally plays a bunch of unders, at least they did last year. But 44.5 to me seems appealing. You think they could get there before we head out?
I'd lean under. I would lean under here. But like I said, odds are all. I'll have props in the game. I love my props, but I'm not betting the game itself.
We'll be here all week. For George Kurtz, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.